All right? All right, 5:31, I call the meeting to order. So first thing we do is look at the agenda. Is everybody okay with that, or they have something to add?
Good.
Good. All in favor? Aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, cool.
Chris first, Julie second. We'll do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, next thing is summary notes from the last meeting. I read them about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, did you? Oh, good. Hello.
Yay.
Oh, yeah.
Hey.
Hey. Okay, so the second, let's go ahead and move to the second.
Move to approve.
Okay, everybody in favor of the minutes from last time, say aye.
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 Okay, good. All right, so do we have some community comments? Somebody here from the community?
Well, I am, but I sort of missed the deadline, so I respect that.
That's okay.
Well, no, okay, no, you're, the 4:00 deadline is really to get the notice to come to the meeting online. You can always come, just show up at 5:30, yeah.
Okay.
We just kind of have to have that in, because now state law requires that we do online and in person. We have to have hybrid, so we have to kind of have that deadline where we can send out the meeting links and stuff. But as long as you're here, there's absolutely no problem with community comments.
All right. Okay. Oh, you're doing it too?
Yeah.
Well, then you're, if you're already set up, go ahead.
I can go, I've been here before. Hi, everybody, I'm Angela Thomas. I have been here once before to talk about the Willamette Park down there, not the new boat launch, but the other boat launch. And I asked for a sign to be put up there for the dogs, because there's like a dog loose law and whatever. I go down there all the time, I'm friends with the ducks and everybody down there. And so I did notice that one was put up, I appreciated it, I was so, so happy. However, it was put up on the old part where you go down. I'm gonna give you some things, you can keep them or throw them in the trash. I only have four.
Thank you, Chair.
So the first page is what's there now.
I'll see him later.
The first page is where the sign was put now. You can see, you can't see it.
Right here?
No.
No, it's down here. So it's down on that old part, and it's covered up by bushes, and it's at an angle where you can't see it. And if you go to the second page, that's where I was wanting it when I was here last time. In the red, it's not aliens, it's like drawing where I want it.
You draw a lot like I do. And my grandson.
Yeah. And that part on the second page, there's an old white fence there and a concrete block. I don't know if something is going to be done with that, and then maybe a sign can be put up there. But that's where people go down with the dogs. I love animals, I love dogs, but I've just seen, you know, where they take a dog off the leash and it's running rampant, chasing the kids and the whatever, and people start yelling at each other down there and stuff, and I don't like it. The last page is just me with my friends. And that's really it. I was going to see if that sign could be moved over to the part on the second page where that is where the majority of the people go down there with their kayaks and stuff. Moved or a sign there without putting signs all over the place, but where it, because it can't hardly be enforced if people don't know about it. And where they're going down there, it looks like, how would they know about it? They don't know.
So you want it on the unimproved trail.
Where you walk in the roots.
Right. I mean, and our staff put it on the other side because it's the more improved area. And what they saw was that's where they felt most of the traffic is.
It's that other part.
Really?
Right across from the stage.
Right across, yeah, right across.
The stage.
The gazebo, right, where there's,
yeah.
You have the parking, then there's that little gravel area. That's,
if possible. I'm just here to ask.
Take a look. I mean,
I know it's the end of the summer. Next, I meant to be here, but I've been out of town and...
You know, I'm all for putting signs up, but I think the purpose of the sign is that now you have something to reference when people have their dogs off leash. And we have this conversation over and over. The only way to have this ordinance enforced, unfortunately, is for someone to call the time it's occurring, give a description, our CSO comes down, and they talk to the people who have their dogs off leash. And unfortunately, as you probably know, if you visit any of our other parks, this happens early morning, almost every park, because I drive around 6:30, 7 a.m., there are dogs off leash. And I mean, I just don't want you to get the false impression that if we move the sign, it's going to solve your problem.
Yeah, no, I mean, people don't hardly look at the signs. And I know you mentioned that last time, but I was thinking, these people are so nice. You know, when they come down with their dogs and kids, they don't know. So I am hesitant to start calling all the time, the non-emergency, when there's, how would they know when they're going down there? There's no rule for them to they don't know to follow it.
Right. And I think that's, and I think the purpose of the sign from a parks perspective, because we can't put them everywhere, is that you have the opportunity to now say, oh, did you know that there's a sign right here?
No. Because I'm down there every day, and I don't want to get that, you know.
I understand. I mean, I understand that, and that's...
I don't want to do that, but I'm here.
If you put our experience in many other parks, as Ken mentioned, you put the sign up, everybody sees the sign, okay? They take their dog off leash, and usually they hold the leash, or put it in their pocket, or put it in their bag, and their dog is running over. And you can talk to them if you want, and some people will put the dog back on the leash, most of them.
Yeah.
We can get people to enforce it, okay? People hate that. The police have come and enforced stuff in some of our parks, and the people that are doing the enforcing don't want to do it because they get crap kicked out of them for doing that. And then when you give out tickets, and we've done that many years in the past, okay? And when they take it to court, the judge always wipes it out. So nobody ever paid any money. So there's no fine for taking your dog off leash. It's great to have a sign.
Yeah.
Okay, but if you think it's going to keep people letting their dogs, having all their dogs leashed, that won't happen in this case. It doesn't happen in any case. So, but it's fine to have the sign where you think you can put it.
Right.
But most people know that their dogs are supposed to be leashed. They have their dog off the leash, and if you stop and talk to them, they will tell you they know their dog is supposed to be on leash. It's not like it's a surprise to them. Basically, your dog is supposed to be leashed any place other than your backyard, except in an off-leash area.
Well, I'm just bringing it up. That's up to you guys.
We'll see if we can.
Okay.
You know, maybe
I do say
another one in the park.
If a dog is like running around bothering like a elderly lady or kids or me, I will say like your dog's supposed to be on a leash, but I don't want to.
And you're not unlike many people who call our office on many, many occasions throughout the year, you know, what about dogs off leash? And the only recourse is to call, have an officer come out who has that regulatory authority.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that some dog owners, like the rest of our population, are not nice to people who say, put your dog on the leash. Some are.
Oh, yeah. I know that's why I'm here.
Not that dog owners are good or bad. It's just that people
are confrontational. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people are, you know, they're humans and we're not all perfect.
Okay.
Just a, you know, way for you.
Well, thank you. And have you noticed the other sign helping at all?
Well, if you go down there, if you go look, it's tacked on to where there's another sign already there that says.
Okay.
It's not a rule sign. It's maybe informational,
right?
Like Tualatin River is 13 miles or something.
Mile marker.
So it's on there. It's at a weird angle and it's behind bushes.
Okay.
I did see that there's like more garbage cans up in that area, so thank you. And one more thing before I go, I'm not going to stay the whole meeting like I did last time. Separate issue. I'm a Falls, Oregon leader, so please keep me in mind. I can set up cleaning events at the park, anywhere, West Lynn, anywhere. I work with Tom, who's the other Solve Oregon leader, so Terry, you have my contact information. Contact me if you guys need extra people, college kids, high school kids, will come clean, do whatever, I'm your person.
Yay.
Okay.
That's it. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
We have, I think, 9 different Solve leaders right now that are in our park.
Yeah.
We have a lot of, yeah, I mean, and it's great.
It's lovely, yeah.
Solve helps them, they help us, I mean.
It's really good.
Yeah, we've actually got a group at Willamette Park.
I love being a help leader, because I go to the Mary S. Young Park, I'm at Willamette Park every single day, I have a community garden at Fields Bridge, so I use the parks, I love it, and so I became a leader just to help, just in West Lynn.
Well, and if you ever have a group, let us know.
Thank you.
Or want to start a group, we'll, you know, you can.
You can sign up for.
You know how to get hooked up with Solve, and we can get the Solve group on our city website and our calendar and try and help promote as much as we can.
I know Jules wanted to come to something that I was going to set up, it's just a matter of setting it up and seeing what needs to be done around here, and then we can do that.
Okay, well, great.
Great idea, great.
I'm going out to the river, have a good day.
Yeah, okay, enjoy.
Thanks, Angela.
Thanks, Angela.
See you later.
Hi, well, I'm hoping to get some help with an issue that's affecting my quality of life, and I've been emailing back and forth different people in the city related to the pickleball noise at Tanner Creek Park. In our house, it really invades our entire backyard or household, it's just not tolerable. So I'm hoping to find some solutions, and hopefully we can come up with some. Lake Oswego, as you know, George Rogers Park, same issue, wound up pretty restrictive hours on the courts and put up barriers, which is what I'm asking. I know people love pickleball, my wife plays, I periodically play, it's a very popular sport, get it. But I think it's unfair to the people that live in that area. And I've been pooling neighbors, of which I've talked to probably about 50 at this point. The majority have issues with the noise, some are very angry. And like I said, it just invades, if you go over there, it can be overwhelming. So I'm just trying to come up with solutions to restrict the noise. I've been in the same house for 20 years, I love West Lynn, my grandkids live a half mile away, I do not want to move. If there's not some reining in the noise, I really have no good choice, and I will not be happy about it. And again, I shouldn't, it's not fair to me, I get they enjoy it, but they are interfering with my personal space, which I think is very problematic, actually. And again, this has been a similar issue, this is not new. I know the Skyline pickleball courts were closed, I'm not asking for that. And it's a national issue, it's not just a Western issue. So I'm just asking for abatement of the noise, it's just intolerable. And again, I'm not the only one, so I've been talking to people, getting people to sign petitions, which I'm working on. I would think it's the parks issue, and I would like nothing better than for it to go away. I do not enjoy being in the public domain necessarily. But again, for me, it's to the point where it's just way excessive. So again, I don't know what possibilities are out there. If I'm talking to the right people, I don't know what direction.
What are the hours that you, I mean, you think that it happens?
I would say 9 to 6. I mean, it's a community area. There are lots of families. And actually, it would be exactly the same number of hours that they now have Lake Oswego with Rogers. They start at 9, and they close different days, but they have a couple of days where they take a couple hours off, and on Sunday, they're done at 1. So this would be exactly the same number of hours that George Rogers currently has.
So the highest hours that you're seeing that's bothersome are early in the morning or later in the evening?
A little bit of both. The morning, I would say, yeah, it's a fudge factor. That's not a critical piece. The evenings are where they're playing. It's still dusk, so they're out there up to 10 at night. And again, it invades my household. Mm-hmm. I'm having a dinner party. All you hear is pickleball.
Yeah.
It's just not fair.
Okay.
And then I would say if we can get a successful barrier, which I think can be done, I don't care. Again, my wife loves it, people love it, I have no problem with it, but well, I just don't want to hear it in my house. And quite frankly, I don't know the barrier would have to go around the whole court. Part of the court is adjacent more to the lacrosse field, so there's nobody there. And so, I mean, you could do, and again, you may need an acoustic person to tell you this is sort of what you need to do type thing. But I'm hoping something can be done. As I say, it's intolerable for me and the people I've talked to. There are a lot of people that are very unhappy and angry. And I think there are solutions out there. It's not like there's nothing that could be done. And again, I'm not asking to close the pickleball court. I just want the noise to go away, or at least to be manageable. Right now, it's not manageable. So that's what I'm asking for.
Okay.
So again, I don't know if this is the right place. I don't know. I've sort of been plugging along. He keeps hearing that it's going to get better. We're putting in new courts. There won't be as much activity. I can tell you, Labor Day, 8 a.m., a little earlier, started absolutely through the last crack of light. And at times, it's unbelievably busy. As a matter of fact, I think it's being promoted for the competition. Whatever they are, a lot of people. It's busy, very loud. And again, we've lived next to that park for 20 years. I actually physically help put in the kids' play structure there, and I take my grandkids there. I love the park. The noise is the problem.
Gotcha.
You're not alone.
No, I know. So I'm hoping that
we've dealt with this, and this skyline is particularly one that.
So this is Dan reached out like June of last year, maybe, or 21.
Yeah, whatever.
And as we went through Skyline Ridge, that scenario, this time, instead of me kind of being involved and as the parks guy that the GoBomb put these in, I thought I would step back, right, and refer Dan to our community service officer, who Nicola, who I think it took a four.
No,
five,
that still hasn't happened. She has met. She has met with me.
Okay.
Nothing happened. Nothing came out of that.
So kind of let's start there. Mm-hmm. Noise meter, different things. Start that route. And see where that goes and what the issues are. Mm-hmm. I've been below Dan's house. I've never been to Dan's house. Dan lives.
Although you're invited.
Dan lives.
Anytime you want.
Dan lives quite a ways away, 368 feet from the pickleball court. Mm-hmm. So it's a little different than Skyline. The initial conversation.
But I'm telling you, the noise is not.
I know.
Weird amplification factor. And you're in my backyard. Trust me. Feel like you're on the pickleball.
I understand,
court.
But from a from a proximity standpoint, that's why we kind of started there.
Yeah.
And then I think I had talked to Dan one more time, and I thought Nicole had reached out to you, and Dan came in and said, "Who do I go to?" A month ago. I think.
Oh, longer, said, look, that's fine.
It's normally an administrative decision.
Right.
This was at the time when it was the 1st of August, and Jerry, our city manager, was leaving in 4 weeks.
Right.
And they had just named John as the mm-hmm. next one. Mm-hmm. And I said, Dan, give me the information that you want. I will get it to the appropriate city manager.
Okay.
Dan sent a letter to city council. I can't remember if he copied you guys. Did he copy mm-hmm. Park Court?
Everybody in city council.
I don't think we got one.
So city council, right. And then... so I talked to Jerry about it, and I think Jerry reached out.
He was leaving, actually, he did. He said, I'm going to go down and listen.
Right.
And I sort of responded to him, and the email I got back, he's already gone.
Oh.
So Jerry.
Which is fine. I get that happen.
It was one of those things where Jerry's contract was going to end August 30th.
Right.
Jerry said, I spoke with Jerry, and how do you want to use it? Let me, talk to Dan, and we'll. Mm-hmm. He sent him an email, is my understanding, and then mm-hmm. Jerry ended up leaving a week earlier than the 30th.
Right.
So that's what you emailed, and I think John responded and said that he will start to work with you and we'll start to come with.
But is that the right path to go? Because I've had actually some members of the city councils reach out to Rory in particular.
Well,
had mentioned that maybe there is actually a barrier, like in some warehouse that's designed for this that was going to go to Skyline.
There is. Yeah, okay. We have about, I don't remember the exact dimensions, but we have a Coosie block, which is exactly what Lake Oswego has.
I know it's not perfect.
We have about 100, I can't remember the dimensions, but we have enough, which was an original concept for Skyline Ridge, which didn't happen. But we have it. And so it's kind of figuring out, working through the process, right? And
is there an agency that runs the tournaments? I mean, do they have like a pickleball club that organizes, or is it just people just show up?
So the other unique thing with this is that we started playing pickleball at Tanner Creek in 2013.
Okay.
Lines were painted.
Okay.
2017, you may know Tom Meyer and Tom Whitten, who started the first pickleball club in 2017. That's when we painted the courts. They started a club, and we didn't have permanent nets, but they had hours that they played.
Right.
And they did that, you know, that club kind of existed basically until we put these nets in, you know, and that club kind of faded, but now we still have a club that has hours that, you know, as you know, pickleball is kind of this social thing, like
it is very,
basketball.
Yeah, right.
So you have hours where people show up and play.
Right.
And as it sits right now, that pickleball club, we actually have hours at Tanner Creek. We actually have some hours at Hammerlin, the other new ones. So they're splitting time and, you know, that's just kind of where we are. And this is a, to me, this is a new complaint when Dan got a hold of me in 2021. The only other complaints that I am aware of we had was we've had about three or four where they were starting before 8 o'clock. Clearly, you know, we get to our police and say, look, and it wasn't necessarily the club, it was just people. This is unacceptable. You know, we need your police to go drive by and throw them in jail, do whatever you do. Do whatever you do, because before 8 o'clock was unacceptable, so.
Can you lock the courts?
That's what Lake Oswego does.
Yeah, so Hammer, or Tanner's unique because on each side, it only has 4-foot fences.
Oh.
So 10-foot fences, but the sidelines of all the courts are 4-foot with a gate, so.
Yes, but.
Lock them, but.
Yes, but really, yeah.
That might be enough of a deterrent, I believe, for the pickleball crowd. I don't see that.
Yeah, jumping over 4 foot.
It could be.
Yeah, you know, there's always some, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, so we need to, you know, and I think John's going to talk to Dan. And normally these go through an administrative process with the city manager and their staff before they just jump right to city council, not that.
But that's why, if this is the right channel and something's going to happen, I'm okay to leave it. Otherwise, I'm okay to go to city council. But I do want, as I keep saying, I don't care what the valuation is, unacceptable to me.
Right.
I've lived in the same house for over 20 years. I love it. It invades our house, absolutely. And then people that come over even say, what's going on here?
And city council's aware of it, obviously. And I know I've talked to one, at least one that you've talked to.
Yeah.
I think I talked to Councilor Blaskowski.
Okay.
He asked me, you know, what's going on?
Okay.
Here's where we are.
Okay.
Dan Alder.
Okay.
You know, so I think, you know, as we go into fall, it's going to rain, it's going to slow down a little.
Right, no, I get that.
Yeah.
We'll have a little point where I hope.
I know, right.
It'll give us a little time to.
Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Try and see if we can't come up, because I think, you know, I know that you're, where you are behind, you know, is closer than all the people that are kind of on the other side of the playground.
Right.
I mean, they're probably 350 feet away and, and noise doesn't travel as much that way on the other side of the playground. So it's just trying to figure it out.
Okay.
Jane Henry. Hi, Jane.
I just want to say, yeah, you're in the right place. And we haven't received any information. Nothing's been forwarded to the board from Ken or the rest of the Parks Department about this issue. And so I know I'd like to hear more, certainly. And I think it would be informative to look at the report that came from the Lake Oswego courts. And you'll see probably that the acoustic fence is on all sides. They have professional analysis done with testing in all different areas of the neighborhood. It's also below grade, and they found that the noise with the acoustic fencing, and even though it's below grade, is still so severe that community members are subjugated to noise that violates some of the OSHA standards for industrial noise pollution. And so it is a problem that's been seen throughout many areas.
Okay. Well, that way, an evaluation, too, I would think would be a starting point. And again, in the interim, if there's some barrier that can at least be tried, or if we know that's really not going to work. At one point, I think there was talk of putting up a wall, and that was more for the park, the play structure originally, and people didn't want it. So whether there's a physical barrier that could somehow go up just to cut the noise.
Yeah, and what tends, when you talk about, you know, for whatever reason, when you talk about a physical barrier like that, the conversation turns to, well, it's not safe because now, you know, you get the visibility.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. That's the conversation that would occur next.
Okay.
Even though you have other structures in parks that block visibility. I mean, it's just another conversation you know, will happen.
Something to weigh in.
Will happen if you talk about whether it's a brick wall.
Right.
Or the acoustic block or something.
Right.
And that's maybe the playground thing. I don't recall. That's
over 20 years ago, but they could have wanted a wall, but parents want visibility from the street.
Right.
But it's just another conversation that will happen with not necessarily pickleball players, but do we want a wall there?
And the problem with particular pickleball noise is that most of the stuff that exists doesn't seem to stop the noise as much as we'd like it to stop the noise.
And that is true. I've been to the George Rogers since they put up that wall, and I hadn't been there before. There's still an awful lot of noise coming out. You know, there are softer paddles and things that are probably very hard to regulate. But again, I think limiting the hours would be really great. And then if we can figure out some sort of barrier, if the barrier goes in and is successful, I'd say let them play whenever they want to play.
I mean, my thought is maybe a combination, right?
Okay, and that's fine. Okay.
Maybe the barrier does what it does.
Yeah, right. Okay,
and then,
fair enough.
And then, you know, the hours, I think, is another thing.
Okay.
And the only, you know, the only thing I'll say about hours, it would be nice to have a little bit of time past six, just for those people that may work. I mean, you know,
again,
that's a conversation.
I get it.
Not every night or something, but you know, those are things we can try and work through.
Right, and that's what sort of Lake Oswego did. So if there were one or two nights where you said, okay, let's have it later.
Right.
That's okay. But at least then I can anticipate.
Okay, you don't have dinner parties those nights.
Well, and unfortunately, the other thing is those are posted with hours that don't go till 10 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, I mean, that's when we need to call and have those police again.
Oh, right.
And, I mean, like the leash law.
Yeah. You know, well, again, it gets back to if it's locked, I think that's probably going to be enough of a deterrent.
It could, yeah. But I'm just saying, if we have people violating park rules, someone has to call those police.
I have no problem doing that. That's what's going on.
I mean, I know nobody wants to do that, but...
No, right, I don't enjoy doing it, but
yeah.
All right, well, thank you for your time. And then at this point, I'll just wait and to hear then.
I would wait. You know, John let me know, and I think, you know, he sent you the email that he was going to follow up. Jerry's out of town.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, John has took a brief vacation. He's been out ill this whole week.
I'll wait, but again, it's just been frustrating. So at some point, some feedback saying, hey, we figured out a plan, and then maybe it'll give me a heads up, that would be awesome.
Sure.
Right. Thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you, Jim, for coming down. Thanks.
All right.
And if you could copy the Parks Board on all of those communications, that would be great.
She said if you could copy the Parks Board communications,
yeah,
that would be
that.
Helpful
I will
as well.
Do that. Yes.
Thank
yes.
you, Dan.
Sorry.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, the original one I wasn't even copied on.
Oh.
I mean, it got forwarded to me.
It got forwarded to you, but you weren't, yeah. Oh. Okay.
It went to council. Go ahead, John.
Awesome. Yeah, when we did the Skyline Ridge thing, I went up there to a few houses and sat and listened to pickleball, and it's phenomenal.
So is it the paddle ball noise or the people laughing? And
No. It's the ball getting hit.
The whacking. The whack.
Like the whacking.
What does Jane know the terminology is?
You could, you know, put on your earphones and it still doesn't.
Still hear the whacking, huh?
Yeah, it's a big whack.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's so noisy.
It's up to, the impact noise is up in between the 90 and 100 decibel range at the actual impact.
Wow.
It's really loud. It's really loud. Okay, number three is communications for the chair, since I didn't know, I have nothing to say about that.
Okay.
That's true.
So,
just table that.
Communication seems to be okay.
Yeah.
Street repair planning program. Ken, do you have anything to say about that?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to make you aware. So, it must be about 2 months ago now, maybe a month, 2 months ago, City Council allocated $200,000. To go to a street tree replanting program that focuses on all those trees that were lost during the 2021 storm. As you recall, the city cut down and removed damaged about 1,600 street trees.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that we probably have about 200 to 250 street trees that through the years have just either died, kind of been removed, haven't been replanted, and council wants to obviously keep up on our urban forestry canopy. So just so you're aware, we are right now in the middle of developing a free street tree program that will probably roll out the end of this month. And it will be designed on the website with a web form, an FAQ sheet. Pretty simple. Hey, do you want free street trees instead of in the future paying $300? Because they are, by code, they're the responsibility of the property owner. And we're just developing that. When you do street trees or trees, you have to pre-order. So we pre-ordered about 5 species of trees. We had to order those by August 14th. For the first year, we've ordered 250 trees.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just vetting that program, making sure that it's going to be clear to everybody as it rolls out. It'll hopefully roll out the end of this month. And hopefully those residents that want street trees will fill out a web form. We're going to initially, you know, just let our arborist pick the most appropriate tree for their planting strip out of the 5 species we've ordered, and hopefully people take advantage of it, and we can start to replace that urban tree canopy in our street trees.
Great.
Yeah.
That sounds
I have like several neighbors who will be interested.
So you're aware.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people and people that will be interested.
Right.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Just wanted you to be aware it's coming because it's a,
okay, great.
A topic.
So well, that, because the median, I know in Salamo, I mean, we lost a lot of trees on Salamo as well. I mean, the median there.
The middle median?
Yeah.
Well, I think they replanted, some of those.
Some of those. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Public Works replanted, I think, most of those down the median.
Okay.
There was
side
a lot
trees.
That were lost next to the apartments across the way and things, mm-hmm. and you know, those will have to be dealt with. This program isn't going to initially, well, if it's approved to form, which we're developing, you know, it's not going to apply to homeowners associations,
right.
developments.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really for residents who lost trees. I mean,
okay.
kind of focusing on
and their
that.
Parkways or right-of-ways kind of things.
Yeah, I mean,
gotcha.
And with,
okay.
we'll start replacing trees that we lost in our parks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we ended up stump grinding probably about 75 trees we lost just in parks, if I remember.
Yeah, at least.
Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll start to, you know, we'll see if these mm-hmm. trees. If these 250, they don't go to official residence street trees, we'll start to use them in public places
mm-hmm.
or parks.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Lots of places to put them. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, they'll all get planted, hopefully. So.
Great.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Recreation Adult Community Center update, Tara.
Okay. So, we didn't meet last month, so since July, I was here briefly for fair weekend.
Yeah.
We were swamped there. We had a very successful fair.
Yay!
We had, you know, in 2 years, so we weren't sure what to expect, but very successful. Busy.
Love the water
all
ski treated. Show.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. So good.
They do a great job. I mean, they are just they're wonderful. Yeah. So we just tried to incorporate kind of that old-time feel a little bit. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw the classic boat show down there we brought in one day. That's kind of a new feature. Our vendors were more homemade, you know, handcrafted,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that, try to get away from the manufacturers, vendors. So that was great, really good feedback. And then our amusement rides, we didn't have, you know, a carnival. We're still going to work on trying to get something like that next year.
Okay.
Which is a challenge in itself.
Did you get any feedback on that?
We did. Well, we got really good feedback on what we provided with all the bouncy houses and the blow-ups, and families really liked that. They just had a wristband, and they can just kind of watch their kids kind of just run from each one, and they can go as many times as they wanted. You know, we just did the daily pass or like a 3-day pass, so it was, you know, come and go as you, you know. Visually, for them, it was great, and it felt a little safer, you know. Not as
carny rides are.
Yeah,
it was really interesting because all the kids and parents that had kids probably 12
and under
loved this concept mm-hmm. probably more than a carnival.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those that had the older tweens or teens
mm-hmm.
kind of felt like, you know, the carnival is cooler for them. And you know, so it's really interesting, and
that's what I was thinking. And we're probably
that
group.
Yeah,
that
was a
yeah.
We had the zip line, but I mean, they kind of had to wait for that. But that older,
The dilemma Tara didn't mention yet is that we're negotiating with a carnival firm who will not commit to anybody and make a decision until November.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we're going to see if we can get a carnival. We may not have an option except to do what we did last year, maybe with some. Minus or pluses of something
for tweens.
But to be honest, financially, it was an overwhelming success. It was phenomenal.
There is that.
We're a little hard to work. It's like, oh my gosh.
Also,
there,
a lot of work for staff.
So yeah,
a lot
a union
more
staff.
Staff. We had to operate it in most of it instead of having the carnival
carny folk
kind of hands off. But
mm-hmm.
they did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A great volunteer that really stepped up, and we're thankful for that.
Yeah. Well done, Tara.
Yeah, that was so.
It was exhausting.
It was great. Right, music. I mean, just lots of food and everything.
Yeah.
You know, well, really felt like full time fair again a little bit. We also had the Music in the Park series, and that was, we added one more, that last concert, because we did have that reserved for the street dance, but we did not do the street dance this year. We'll talk about that for next year, and hopefully work with maybe Willamette Main Street and bring that back. Yeah, Music in the Park was great, a couple of hot ones. So, not as well attended, but it was still, you know, pretty good later in the evening. Let's see what else. We had two movies in the park at Marystown Park, both in August. Those were great, about over 100 people each night did concessions. And then we had our last month or so of summer camps, which were full.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very, you know, our Fun in the Sun and our minis, our own that we run, were, you know, wait lists every week.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of challenging with low staff levels. Then we've got our brochure just came out. Hopefully you guys got that all.
I did.
Yeah, we mailed out that one. Yeah. So we've got our Boo event. We're not doing the drive through this year. We're going to do a walkthrough, which is going to be at Marystown, just a little walkthrough path. So we're going to try that this year instead of the drive through. Different challenges of, you know, waiting in line for hours. And so we'll see how the walkthrough goes. And then, yeah, in here, we've got Holiday Bazaar coming up. The Adult Center has been doing that. They are, let's see if they put that in here. They're having their open house, kind of a community open house, the end of this month. So we'll promote that, too. So if you guys have a chance to swing by there, they'll have some booths in there, kind of information about what they're programming and what they've got going on in the future. And then holiday stuff. You'll see the December stuff coming out soon, holiday parade. The sweater run's coming back, polar plunge.
I'm
sure several sign up for that. I think that's what we've got going on.
Good.
That's good. We're into fall.
Yeah.
Fall and winter.
Here we go. Summer's always great, but except for you guys, it's good to get through.
Yeah. I mean, it just goes really fast, and you know, you kind of try to live in the moment, but you're like, we've already planned all this. I feel like we've been through it, and now.
Okay, yeah. You're up next with department.
You did get that.
Yeah.
Oh, good, it's in there. Make sure it's in there.
So on the project side, I sent you, I just, you know, kind of a little sheet, give you an idea what our park staff has been doing. You know, we've, as far as the GO bond, I'll touch on it, but we've kind of clicked off all of the small projects that were easy. That got put in over the past 2.5 years. But as far as project updates right now, we talked about the free street tree program that will roll out. Down at Mary S. Young, the large boardwalk and staircase that got destroyed in the storm was completed yesterday. I think it opened.
People coming both directions on it today. It was great. It was great to see that open.
I went and walked it today. There were two buses of people there, kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So are we doing anything to the trail coming up?
Well, they will. Yeah. Now that we can get there, they'll put the barrier up on top of the trail. The cable that got dropped. That'll go back up. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we'll start to, you know, improve that a little bit. They just got done faster than we thought.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't done, and all of a sudden, poof, it was done.
It looked like a nice job.
Trail that will take
the same style and everything.
Yeah. Really. We're finalizing the plans for Cedar Oak Boat Ramp redesign and parking that we will bid this fall. That's actually going to be funded by Oregon State Marine Board grant and Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. It's about a $310,000 project. About 210 of it is from grant money.
Can remind me, is that gonna help with the parking? Is that gonna create more parking spots? Because
So what we've done basically, as you know, boat parking spaces are about 45 feet long,
mm-hmm.
right? And as you enter Cedar Oak, I don't know how familiar you are with it, but on the right, there are some old boat parking that come in. What we have done is we've redesigned it. We will have a bollard system.
So now where there's a curb, where the boats pull in and they, the front of the car hits a curb, right? Those are boat trailer parking mm-hmm. only. We're taking that front curb out of 9 parking places and we'll have a bollard system. So during heavy boat season, fishing season, we will have bollards in there that will have a chain and those will be used for boat trailer parking only.
Oh.
When it switches to summer, we will take those bollards and put them halfway, roughly 20 feet
oh.
in the middle of those 9 parking places. And now you'll have POV parking from this way and from this direction.
Okay, excellent.
And we're doing it the next island, we're doing it for 5 more parking places. So we can actually increase the POV parking up to 28 spaces, which does take away 14 boat trailer spaces. But, you know, the part of this money is coming from Oregon State Marine Board and their water access permits,
mm-hmm.
which are actually paddle boards,
mm-hmm.
non-motorized over 10 feet. Last year they raised like $2 million. So the funding mechanism for these boat ramps, which used to be all motorized boats,
mm-hmm.
is slowly now being shared. So they're trying to provide some equity for those
mm-hmm.
non-motorized boaters. We don't have quite the problem at Willamette because we've got a lot more area for POVs throughout the park without
mm-hmm.
trailers. Cedar Oak, the other problem we have, I mean, it's a great problem, is that that island is such an attractive place with the, no current. It's great for little kids,
mm-hmm.
paddle boards, inflatable pelicans.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and during the pandemic, it just kind of went poof. I think it's
mm-hmm.
like travel trailers. Everybody in the world bought a kayak or
paddle board, yep.
to get outside.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, I've had people who have came in the office, there are some boaters that are upset that we're taking things away from them. And I agree, we are removing some boater spots during certain times of the year, and we're actually trying to make it a little more equitable.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not going to make every person happy. And
there's only so much space there.
Yeah.
Well, and I've told them if we had another acre, we would just add parking.
Yeah.
You know, and nobody, the neighborhood doesn't want anybody to park up on the.
No.
You know, whether it's my car and my family or whether it's a boat with a trailer,
mm-hmm.
nobody wants.
Yeah.
People parking up there, so and it's experimental, and we're going to have to try and gauge how many do we change and what do we do and when do we do it. So but we thought it was a great concept, and Oregon State Marine Board kind of took us as an experiment, and we hope it works well.
but it'll be
a test. No, that's good. And so you think the work will be done over the winter?
Well, yeah, we were going to push it this fall, but with all the rain into mid-June, every job that was bid for asphalt got pushed 2 months back. So we knew that we wouldn't even get it. So we're going to bid them this fall, hopefully be kind of first in the rung when the weather gets nice enough in the early spring. So we get them done, you know, early April at the latest, hopefully. And
hopefully.
Okay.
That's the projections, yeah. Mary S. Young parking lot, is those designs are also finalized, so we're going to bid along with the Cedar Oak parking lot and some other paving projects with Public Works. So we will be paving that whole overflow parking. A majority of that will be funded by FEMA from the damage we caused when we had, you know, 200
mounds
of
40 feet.
Yes, 40 feet tall mounds of wood chip.
As I mentioned, we've completed all the stump grinding in our parks this summer. As far as our GO bond, what we have finished, our park staff did a large drainage project at North Willamette Park,
mm-hmm.
where we had, you know, a lot of issues where it was flowing into a playground,
mm-hmm.
past the restroom parking lot. The non-motorized boating at Willamette Park is still ongoing with our consulting firm, KPFF. We've got initial surveys, environmetric studies, and it's slowly moving forward. Waterfront Park and Trail down in Willamette,
mm-hmm.
we're still working with partners. You know, we still have the private partner who keeps saying he's going to come in, but hasn't met with planning yet. But we have ongoing conversations with PGE and Willamette Paper Company, who have been, you know, receptive. The first option, as we know, we looked at wasn't a viable option
mm-hmm.
after we surveyed. So we have had conversations and keep meeting with them about, you know, going back to the riverfront and seeing what we can move there. This doesn't really fall into parks, but falls into my purview. Robinwood Station, $1.2 million project, is about three quarters done, and it'll be done at the end of September. And we, in the past 2 weeks, have started bringing back up our project on the facility side, Historic City Hall, which actually today at 3 o'clock had a plaque unveiling. It is now mm-hmm. on the National Registry.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to move that project forward, go back to council in October, try and figure out funding. That's about a $1.9 million project for renovation. Working with the coalition and grant programs to move that forward. Hopefully bid something by the end of the year and get it built in 2023. Let's see, other park projects that our staff has worked on, they put in new benches at parks, the drainage. You know, they've done a great job this summer working on the smaller projects that are capital improvements, small budgets, ADA improvements and capital improvements. We had about a total of $25,000 in our budget, and it was wisely spent, and they did a great job on those small projects.
Great.
But willing to answer any questions or
cool
topics on projects and updates.
Looks great.
So I had one question, and that is, you know, I drive 43 going to work, and so I don't know why, after how many years I've lived here, I just started noticing it. But the chain link fence at Mary S. Young, it just got totally.
That's been trash for years.
It's been okay. Yeah, it must have been really nice.
You know, over the years, there's always been, you know, five or six trees that fall down and hit a piece of the fence. But the ice storm really took it out. And then since that road is a state road, the guys came in and any tree that looked like it wasn't there took it out. I mean, that was amazing. They took everything.
They did. They did. And I think that's why I see
not
it.
Exposed
yeah, that's why you saw it. That's why you see it.
Now, the good thing about that is there were a number of those trees where big limbs were hanging over the road and occasionally coming down. So that's helpful. We didn't need to take every friggin' tree.
Not every
It's on our radar. I've talked to our park maintenance supervisor. We just need to try to slowly start taking it out.
Yeah, so I guess that's my question. I mean, is there a reason to even have that fence? And if not, you know, then
we're
taking
there's
it
so
out.
Much growth there that you, if, no, we
no oh, yeah. well,
you wouldn't want you wouldn't want your right.
No, we don't have blackberries.
Yeah. We don't have one fenced park in our system. Except that one.
Okay.
That was fenced by the state.
The state. Yeah.
Okay. In prior to us taking it over 25 years ago.
I mean, okay.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, good.
Cool.
You know, the only fence that we kind of repair and would love to get out of is, you know, down the sides on the property owners, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of a backyard fence for some of them, right? And it's I'd love, you know, I mean, we'd like to take the whole fence out, but we're going to focus on the front and just slowly. But it's a large undertaking.
Let nature reclaim the rest.
Exactly.
Cool.
And maybe this winter, you know, we got to get in there and figure it out because you got big concrete blocks. Are they going to have to pull the blocks or can we just sawzall posts?
Right.
Is it going to be safe enough with all the underground?
I wouldn't want to walk in there.
No.
I mean, you've got to be dressed in a hazmat suit to go through the all the stuff that's going to eat you up.
Yeah.
Hornet's nest.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay, so you have a thing, Ken, recent successes and constraints? Or talk about that.
I mean, I thought I wanted to kind of just talk about what constraints we had through the summer, successes, I think, and kind of get input from those of you that are affiliated with anything in our parks. You know, we're kind of moving into a time, you know, as we close the summer. So, you know, move into fall, which is a little less hectic for all our staff, and we'll be going through internally what went well, what didn't go well, you know, what do we need to improve, how can we be more efficient, what can we change. You know, so I thought I'd have that conversation real quick and just kind of point some things out, see if you guys have seen anything heard anything, you know, just that we might be of value to us going forward. You know, so I just, you know, kind of successes for us. We have an engaged and committed staff in our Parks and Recreation Department. We finally have a fully staffed park maintenance section, which is our two new crew members that we got last year's budget, but it ended up being three new employees through the year. We were able to adjust some of our parks maintenance processes because we had those two new employees. Our recreation adult community staff is also fully staffed, but in the past year it's transformed because one of our positions is now two part-time instead of one full-time, which, you know, adjusted some of our operations. You know, we had exceptional support throughout the summer months by our staff, and they all had increased hours. We had part-time people working 40 hours a week instead of 20. You know, we'll talk a little. We had full-time park maintenance manning weekends more often because of hiring practices and things. We had a successful transition from the pandemic to non-restricted programs. After 2.5 years, we restarted a lunch program at the Adult Community Center. We had a successful recreation fun in the sun camp and mini campers covering ages 4 to 12 after a 2-year hiatus. And as Tara mentioned, we had successful old time fairs, music in the park, movies, and transferred our street dance to an end of the summer concert. Our park maintenance, like I said, did some projects with, they installed about 3 new kiosks, partnering, either installing or partnering with Eagle Scouts, pedestal tables. They're getting ready to install more tables in our parks as they're assembled. We had McLean House just recently had 3 benches fully boards removed, refinished with donor plaques. We put in a brand new water fountain over at our fitness court to fill bottles and or drink from. We had large increase in our Adopt a Park programs and all volunteers in our parks. Mm-hmm. We have very strong leadership where we have volunteers leading volunteers because we don't have that as a paid position. We had a great partnership this year with a new youth organization called the Lake Oswego Ranger Corporation. It was a guy that just wrote a grant and had their kids come out for about 2 weeks and work in our city along with Lake Oswego.
Cool.
So I think we had a successful year. I think, you know, there were a lot of changes and we have certainly areas for improvement. Constraints. So some of the constraints, we did have 3 brand new park maintenance employees who, which was their first busy summer, learning all our procedures. We really had 3 new recreation employees, 2 part-time, 1 full-time, who had never been through a non-COVID summer with summer camps and a full slate of events and fairs. We created, you know, the new old-time fair without a carnival, which was a lot of work for our staff. Had a large demand for volunteers, and they did a great job. We had challenges with lack of applications for all of our senior or seasonal positions. We had the inability to hire a spray park attendant for summer, which was critical for us with 5 spray parks. What that meant is 68 hours a week or 1.45 full-time equivalents was just working on those spray parks. If nothing went wrong, sometimes we have 2 there because you have to fix things. So what that does is, in a nutshell, is it takes away the ability for those guys to do something at a different level.
Mm-hmm.
We also had the inability to hire normal park attendants, seasonal park attendants. We had 5. We normally have between 9 and 12 that just help us with weed eating, routine maintenance, mm-hmm. you know, that are in our parks. We had the inability to hire a summer camp director for our internal mm-hmm. programs. We weren't able to hire a recreation supervisor, and we weren't able to hire the needed quantity of recreation attendants, the counselors. So this year, instead of having 60 to 70 or more in our camps, we ended up with 30 every session. You know, we had a part-time employee that had to take on the dual role of counselor, rec supervisor, and director for those programs. It worked, everybody's happy, but it was not ideal.
Is that a seasonal position?
Those are all seasonal.
We
actually normally, on the recreation side, we actually normally hire 13, about 12 mm-hmm. to 13.
Mm-hmm.
We have a director that oversees the younger kids program and the older kids program. and then we have a supervisor at each of those, and then we have counselors.
Counselors, uh-huh.
Well, this year we had a total of 5 counselors with no supervisory staff.
Mm.
Just no one was experienced enough to supervise. So it was a challenge. And,
yeah.
And what that does is that recreation staff is also the staff that supports us at our special events. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that just meant that full-time staff had to work a little more hours. And then the last thing we're losing is we're losing some of our best leadership in our volunteer force. Longtime leader, Dave Cruz, who's been with us almost 20 years at Marys Young Park, mm-hmm. is moving to Bend. Dave Klinke, who took on the kind of the social media side and the personnel side of our leadership about 7 years ago from Dave Cruz, and kind of solidified all of our programs together with newsletters. Dave has moved to Canby. So Tara's meeting with Dave, was it today?
Next week.
Next week. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we'll bribe him to stay involved somewhere.
He has to hire his yeah. replacement.
Right.
Tell him that. He's not allowed to leave until he's got the adequate suitable.
Between those two, yeah. you know, it's been.
That's a big loss. You
know, and we have many leaders, but those two kind of. Dave Cruz has documents of every invasive weed we've removed from Marys Young, where it's eradicated, mm-hmm. where we need to work, monthly reports. I mean, you know, so we're losing some people, but we need to, but it's been great. We still have a ton of great people. So
I found Dave Cruz many years ago when I was running with my high school cross country team at Trine Creek. He was working on a Saturday and I stopped and I said hi to him. And I said, you like working here? And he said, oh, it's hard to work with the state. And I said, well, you know, I live in West Lynn, and we just got a park that the state owns, but we're going to run. And I know the director, and he's kind of like, hey, meet with us, tell us what you want to do. So the first time he came to meet, he had like a booklet of his 5-year plan for removing invasive diseases, okay? And since I like trails, fixing trails at Marys Young.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Ken Worcester looking at it and going like, usually when we have volunteers, they come for part day on Saturday. It's about 20 feet of trail, and it's really nice. And then everybody complains because they haven't seen him for another year, you know, that sort of thing. I said, I think this guy is different, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Klinke is another unbelievable guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's, you know, when I talk to him, and I talk to him every week, he still wants to be involved, but living in Canby, mm-hmm. he's going to find some part for so in Canby. And it's going to be hard to make that drive like he does. Now, so we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
But those kind of guys are hard to replace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
But they're great guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good job.
Will you be doing some kind of a plaque or an award or recognition for their time and efforts? Is that something that we can do?
We're not going to let them leave yet.
I know. Okay. Well, I know.
We have
like a proclamation or an award.
We have some
I'm sure
until next year.
There's some movement to do. Some different things, and it's
okay.
kind of our volunteers have kind of reached out, and we're kind of letting them do it. We're supporting what they want to do that's
okay.
appropriate, and we'll see where the chips fall if they come back or not. But yeah, we will.
Jane's got a question.
Just real quick, is you just kind of mentioned the McLean House real quick, and some of us had gone to the McLean House, you know, to look around and have the tour. So is there any update? Have they found people to work for the foundation? Are you taking it over? Like, what's the update on that?
That's a great question. I should have had that on my list. I apologize. So McLean Friends of the Park and House are dissolving.
Mm-hmm.
As of November 16th, the house will become the city's responsibility. They were not able to find adequate executive leadership for their nonprofit as it was operating in its current state, which was really, you know, kind of that wedding venue.
Mm-hmm.
They had a tenant that was renting around the rooms, and it was, you know, a lot of work. They didn't have interest, I guess, into moving to a foundation type, so they are in the process of dissolving. As far as the city goes, there's a couple of things we need to understand before we can come up with a business plan or decide what we're going to do. We've let them know that we're going to, you know, preserve the house. We're going to take care of it. We're going to maintain it, which we've assisted with on big projects all along. Their volunteers outside that take care of the grounds have already moved into an Adopt-a-Park program, you know, even though we supported them before, it's kind of officially moved over to inside the city's house, I guess. Now, from the things that we need to find out from them, the agreement we have is from 1981. Kind of, you know, it's one of these things where we're kind of, as Robinwood Station comes on board, we're like, let's update all these agreements.
Mm-hmm.
So they own all the property in the house.
Yeah.
Furniture, plates, tables, chairs. They own the tent that is used for outdoor events. And they have cash in the bank. And this is all theirs as a nonprofit. They own it. They haven't indicated what they're going to do with it. And they've kind of wanted to know what we're going to do as a city. And we don't know exactly, but I have told them, we can't do much until you decide what you're going to do with those events, physical things that help you run events, tents, chairs, tables. If the city has to buy all those, I need to know soon, because we're going into our next budget cycle, number one. And number two, we have a very large ODOT property right next door that is causing a lot of noise. And personally, I'm a little reluctant to go into the rental business of a facility that sits right next to a bridge that they're driving pylons. So on our
website. You don't want to get married there, right?
Well,
yeah, and, and how long is that proposed to be lasting? Like,
well, the first year is in water work. I don't know, but we basically, Jane, to answer your question, we put up on our web, on their website, where it's rent the facilities. You know, you go to the McLean House. Actually, right as you click for that, we have put that effective November 16th, McLean House operations will come to the city, and for the duration of 2022, there will be no rentals. I mean, we just need, we're coming out of the peak of summer, we need to figure out what that looks like for us, and then what do we do with the ODOT project that's right next door. So,
yeah.
Thanks for asking. That's where it sits.
Yeah, and having participated on that tour, which was great, a lot of fun, got to see the inside and learn all about the gardens and everything. And you know, it's pretty obvious that group just, you know, preserve and protect.
Right.
And, you know, I would echo that. I think the wedding venue stuff that's great, you know, if you can get that to work. But really, it's a great piece of history that, you know, we should preserve and protect. So
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, as we kind of went through working with them, you know, over time, I think it just kind of morphed into this out of need or desire. I'm not sure, over 41 years, from kind of that preserving and interpreting Dr. McLean
right.
and history. I mean, it just kind of morphed into a wedding venue, and that's kind of what it became.
Yeah.
You know, not, and they did a great job preserving the house with us, but it just, you know, and what do we do with it? You know, you know, the Westland Historical Society have met with them, and they kind of want to know what's going to happen. And, you know, we certainly, that would be someone to talk to about preservation mm-hmm. and, you know, obviously historical aspects and things. And, you know, like I say, we just need time to figure out what is it for the city now that we, you know, we preserve it and keep it looking pretty, let people walk the grounds and figure out what we do with the house and how it functions for the city. So,
great.
Best answer.
Okay. It's about the only answer.
Yeah. So, jump back to successes or constraints.
Uh-huh.
I mean, whether it's tonight or an email, I mean, we'd love to hear as you walk the parks, go to the parks, went to a baseball game. I mean, just if you saw, heard things, we'd love input. We don't get a lot. I mean, you know, we get complaints, and that's okay when things are inadequate people see things. But,
yeah.
I mean, and we're not looking for pats on the back, but I mean, if you saw things that were different from years past, whatever it might be.
Nice to have a drinking pot at Maria Shelley.
Yeah. You know, we'd love to hear them, right?
My type of girls like it.
Just because input's always good.
Mm-hmm. You know, it is.
Yeah. That's it, John.
Good stuff. Okay. Let's see. Jules not here. So
mm-hmm. Well,
unless you know something.
No, I think the intent of that, and I don't know, I just noticed this. Maybe I apologize. Items of interest. We always had items of interest from the board.
And I think that's what the intent of that is.
Oh.
What, I mean, because that's not on our agenda. I just noticed today when Vicki redid our agenda, we want to hear if you guys have items of interest. Yeah. I mean, that's why you're here, right?
Yeah.
So I think maybe we need to, maybe we need to add from the board and feedback from council. I don't know. I mean, I think those got blended.
We normally had them separate.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And maybe, I don't know where it got garbled, but.
Because that was just for the.
I know one's feedback from the council, but we also want to hear interest from you guys, whatever those may be, issues, concerns, whatever. What you had for lunch, I don't know. What do you guys want to talk about?
The one I thought of was the fence thing at Marriott Shop. So I just.
Okay, sure.
I plugged that in there. And then I think to your previous comment, you know, success constraints, having attended a number of the community events, and they were different, you know, but I thought they were great events. I mean, we went to Music in the Park, mm-hmm. and that was packed.
It was.
And, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, again, the water ski show and the boat. No, it was just fun to do that. And, as you know, at different times when we got out and, you know, went down where she was talking about putting the sign and walked up to Swift Water Park and back, you know, just seeing people out and enjoying it. You know, I noticed that that whole parking area in that area had been re-graveled, mm-hmm. so that was cool to see. It's wonderful to get out and see, one, people using it, and two, you know, it's not like as I'm out and about, it's like, yeah, that would be better, but that's a GoBond project, you know,
right.
where I'm not seeing too many, like, oh, yeah, that looks really cruddy, I got to call Ken or something like that,
sure.
you know, so, and... Hopefully next year you'll be able to fill those positions, you know, find some people to do all that stuff. So, but no, overall, great summer. It was good.
Okay.
You already hit two things. I was giving the kudos on the Turkey Creek boardwalk, and then just the question on, you know, when the progress or when the parking lot thing was going to be done at Cedar Oak.
Yeah, things are good. Yeah, new drinking fountain. We had
new drinking fountain. Everybody wants that.
We've almost re-chipped all the trails. Not all of them yet, but close enough.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of nice new chips on.
Mm-hmm.
It amazes me every time I go to Marius Young. I was there again today about 10 o'clock, and, like, there are 40 cars there. I mean, it's very busy.
Yeah, it is very busy.
I mean, there's so many. And there were two buses, a short bus and a big bus. I mean, and I was walking down to go to the Turkey Trail, you know. They're just herds of kids. I'm not sure why they're there, but they're all eating lunch. I mean,
yeah,
groups of them, they must have came in these school buses. I don't know if they're charter schools or.
Maybe.
When we first moved here 5 years ago, we'd go walk in the park in the winter, and it would be 40 degrees and raining. And there was somebody in daycare or something. They had these kids that were like 2 and 3 years old. They were dressed in moon suits and they were playing in the muddy creeks in winter. I go, this is how you make Oregonians. But I mean, there's something for everybody.
There's actually a parent group, usually on Wednesdays, that has little kids like that. And their goal is to teach them things in the forest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it.
So they come out, year round and they gather them all. They usually park in the gravel parking lot near the shed. And I've seen as many as 15 families,
yeah.
and they got little kids, you know, and they're taking 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds and saying, here's what we do in the park.
Mm-hmm.
So they always stop and say, thanks for the trip.
Yeah, no. They're
awesome.
Climbing on the piles. They were, having a good day.
So they play on the gravel and that kind of stuff. And they're going, can we play on the gravel? Why not? If I was that age, that's what I'd be doing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can still use the gravel after mm-hmm. you've stepped on it.
Perfect.
Yeah, Mary Ashang is unbelievably used.
Mm-hmm. It just seems to get more popular every year, to
mm-hmm.
be honest, slowly, which is great.
Yeah.
And yet, there's many people as there that park and absorb them because there's stuff everywhere. So nothing really gets crowded, at least not where I go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dog park can get a little, you know, off leash area can get a little crowded.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's a pretty big area. So
it is a large area.
Yeah. Hit it at the right time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Okay.
So. Doing more with less. That's a kudo.
The meeting summary.
It is. She likes to do that. I don't need to do that.
But we don't want it to be our motto.
No, we don't want you to.
It's not sustainable.
It is not sustainable. But that's a success. I mean, no, you don't want to brag about it, but still, you know, that's something you can.
Yeah, I mean, when the complaint you hear the most is there's so many people here, that's not a bad thing.
Like, we want to see them.
I mean, you feel proud of us. I'm sure you guys do. And the complaint is the park was really crowded.
And it's not Parks and Rec, but did you see that we are rated the safest city in Oregon again? Yes, third year running.
Yeah.
At least by one publication.
That's good.
I'm not sure what the criteria is, but good for us.
Oh, nobody's calling about those off-leash dogs.
One of the things was violent crime and.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of it depends.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's always good to be top.
It is.
No, if you talk to the.
For you that own homes here, that's a great thing.
It's a very good thing.
You talk to the police officers in the community, one of the things they tell you, particularly if you come from other communities, is that they don't have the kind of stuff that other communities have. So it's one of the things that's really nice about our community.
Yeah.
It's very safe. And people stop to help other people.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, looks like our next meeting on October 13th is Community Gardens.
That's what we have on the annual plan.
Okay.
Seems good to me. Does anybody have anything else that we need to do tonight? No? I think we should quit.
Good job.
And it's.
6:42?
6:42.
Maybe these terms up, we might want to consider nominating.
I've been known to run real short.
He does.
I don't know if this is his fastest one, but.
I've been faster.
This is.
I think one was like 30 minutes.
But it was good.
Yeah.
We need move to adjourner.
Yeah, we do.
Okay. I move to adjourn meeting.
To adjourn, aye.
Adjourn.
Aye.
Thank you.
All right.
Nice to go.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane. Good to see you.
We had a really good time.